Formula One is big, big business. It's a massive, star-making, sometimes controversial, money monster of a sport. And let's face it, Formula One has never just been about the racing. Senna, Schumacher, McLaren, Ferrari, names that will go down in history. It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. And one of Formula One's biggest names is Christian Horner. He's the principal of Red Bull, breakout star of Drive to Survive on Netflix, and of course, husband of Ginger Spice, Jerry Halliwell. And last week, he was sensationally sacked publicly from the role he'd held for 20 years. Today, we're asking, do we know why? And what's next for the man that Bernie Eccleston kindly described as an idiot 50-year-old who thought he was 20? Well, joining me on the podcast to take a deep dive into the world of Formula One and the career of Christian Horner are Luke Smith. Luke is senior F1 writer for The Athletic and the author of On the Grid, The Inside Track on Formula One. And Thomas Marr is an Irish Formula One journalist with PlanetF1.com. You're very welcome to News Talk Daily, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us on, Kirill.
Luke, I'm going to start with you. His sacking as the principal and chief exec of Red Bull last week, it didn't come, I think, as a huge surprise to a lot of people who follow this sport, but it did seem to come as a shock to the man himself, because there have been reports since of him addressing staff in Milton Keynes at the Red Bull HQ, as it was, that he was incredibly emotional and spoke about how shocked he was at his sacking.
Yeah, I think from the video that came out of Horner addressing the Red Bull staff as well, it's very clear just from the way he's speaking, the catch in his voice, just how emotional he was. And I don't think I've ever seen him like that before. I've never seen him that emotional before. And he admitted in it that it was a shock. And I think that that's a feeling felt by the wider F1 paddock. Although we've known about the tensions growing at Red Bull for some time, for the past 18 months. Obviously, 18 months ago, there were the allegations made against Horner that he denied and the grievance was dismissed following the internal investigation. But ever since, there has been this spotlight on Horner and his running of Red Bull Racing. Yeah, in one fell swoop, it's 20 years of one man running a team. And I think really making it in his image and getting things exactly as he wants it, that has all come to a very sudden end. So I think that's probably the most shocking part of it for both Christian Horner himself, but the wider F1 paddock to understand.
Yeah, I mean, the statement that came from Red Bull was that they were releasing Christian Horner from his operational duties. I love that phrase, releasing somebody as if they've just been given, you know, early release from a prison sentence. It doesn't seem like there was any negotiations here, was there?
It doesn't look that way, no. And in his speech to the Red Bull staff, Horner said that he would remain employed by the company. So obviously that doesn't mean he's going to be at all involved with the F1 team. I think it's very much now that there will be talks about his exit. He had a long-running and a very well-remunerated contract that was going all the way to the end of the decade. So I think that that'll be for them to work out now. But I think the fact that Red Bull have acted so quickly to say he's been released from his operational duties and basically told after 20 years, we think we're better off without you running this F1 team. I think that is, a very, very big moment, I think, for not just the team itself, but I think for the wider F1 paddock, again, just to see this all come to such a sudden end for Christian Horner at Red Bull Racing.
Yeah, and such sort of a public end, like a public sacking after everything he has done, is quite incredible. I mean, I described Formula One at the beginning there as a massive star-making, sometimes controversial, money monster of a sport where there's huge amount of skill and guts and resilience and determination, I think, shown by all of those involved in it. What was he, Thomas, to the sport?
I think the number one thing you can say about him is I think he was kind of a self-made hero, I think, of Formula One over the last 20 years. I think he was probably comparable to the likes of, say, Ron Dennis back in the 1980s. Obviously, he was not part of the ownership structure of Red Bull Racing, But the sheer amount of success that he managed to bring to this upstart team, it had been, of course, the Jaguar team, which was a team in midfield chaos over 20 years ago. But Horner came in as an unproven early 30s under Dietrich Mateschitz, the owner of Red Bull outright. And he set about creating this team in his image. And just the success just slowly but surely started to ramp up. And Christian created two separate periods of domination in Formula One. There was the spell with Sebastian Vettel between 2010 and 2013, and came back then with more titles than Max Verstappen over the last 4 or 5 years. So he just showed that he was able to create a winning team on more than one occasion. This wasn't a kind of one flash in the pan occurrence that he succeeded in doing. So for some reason, the team has entered I won't say a slump, but definitely a dip in performance over the last year and a half. And he has not been given the time to try turning things around. Christian is not being given the benefit of the doubt. The question over that is why?
And we cannot understate how important he was and how integral he was to Red Bull's success. I mean, Christian Horner was Red Bull success for a lot of people, wasn't he?
I think from speaking to people within the team that his greatest power was empowerment. So while Christian may not have been the most technical minded person, like he didn't design the cars that won all the championships, but he was very good at getting the right people into the right jobs and allowing them to flourish in those roles. And the thing is, he created a very stable team for almost 20 years. There was very little movement. And that's kind of the number one thing you hear when you talk to people about Christian Horner. He commanded tremendous loyalty.
Yeah, because I think in fairness, Luke, you can say somebody is extremely successful if they bring, you know, a team from nowhere, which this team was, to victory. But to do it again and again and again and to sustain that over a 20-year period, that's quite something, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's the kind of thing that you don't see, I think, in any sports, really, let alone Formula One. It's very hard to create a dynasty that can keep going back and back. And as Thomas said, he took this from a team that was literally sold for £1. And I think I'm right in saying he's second on the all-time list of the most race wins for a team principal in Formula One. And also the staying power. It wasn't the fact that this team got to the top and then fell down. It was the fact that he got them to the top and then kept them there. This is a team that, when it started, was very much the sort of party team. It was a little bit edgy, a little bit different to what we saw compared to some of the stuffiness in F1, maybe through the mid-2000s. And by the time that Horner got the team to the very top table, it's never really left. It's always been one of the big players in F1 for the past 15 years now.
And what was his background, Thomas? I mean, what was his connection to the business of cars? Was he ever a contender to be a driver himself?
Yeah, he was. He raced in junior categories back in the 1980s and 1990s. But there's a famous moment where he was following eventual Indy 500 and Monaco Grand Prix winner Juan Pablo Montoya through a series of corners at Estoril in Portugal. And Christian realized, following Juan Montoya, he just said, "I will never be able to do what I've just seen Montoya do." So Christian basically had this realization that as good as he might have been behind the wheel, he was better. His talents were better served doing something else. So he was in junior team management as well with his father, Gary Horner, and they had a team called Arden International racing in Formula 3000. It was through this team that Christian started working with Helmut Marko of Red Bull. And that's why Christian got the call up to become team principal of Mateschitz's Formula One team when he entered Formula One at the start of 2005. Christian was completely unproven on the big stage of Formula One. Yes, he'd shown promise in the junior categories and as a businessman at that level. But at Formula One level, he was completely unproven.
And he became a really public figure, one of the most high-profile figures in Formula One outside of its star drivers, who many of us will be familiar with. Did he enjoy that part of it? Did he enjoy the limelight and the fame that he had?
I think it was something that he found himself thrust into. Yeah, I think that the fact that when you marry a Spice Girl, you marry someone of Jerry Halliwell's fame, obviously you're going to be put into the limelight in a very different way as well. But I think that he was very much, I think, one of the most public figures in Formula One. He was never far away from a Sky Sports interview on a race weekend watching Drive to Survive. I would hazard a guess to say that he was probably the team principal that got the most amount of airtime, and he was very much front and center for a lot of F1 in the past sort of 10 years especially. And I think that he embraced this kind of villain-esque almost model at times. Like he was very much enjoying some of the barbs that he had with some of his rival team principals. And I think that that last year when the allegations broke against him, that's why it was both front page and back page news. And there were people who were messaging me being like, oh, I never realized this guy was married to one of the Spice Girls. And that kind of shows where that he did move into that sort of public consciousness in a different kind of way.
Yeah, I think he did. He had that sort of celebrity wattage, didn't he? And when that story broke last year, the accusations about controlling and inappropriate behaviour, I remember going on the Daily Mail website to see if Jerry Halliwell, his wife, was going to turn up in support of him at the Grand Prix in Bahrain, and reading her body language and trying to kind of figure out what was going on in the relationship. I mean, that was the side of the F1 that I was interested in at that point, Thomas.
Yes, that race weekend, the long seared into the memory, I think, of myself and Luke and pretty much anyone who was working the ground that weekend. The atmosphere was circus-like. The attention on Christian and Red Bull was astonishing. The pressure must have been absolutely sensational. And obviously there was a humiliating incident as well for Horner that weekend with the leaking of information that apparently pertained to the investigation that was disseminated throughout the paddock. But throughout it all, Jerry was at his side. I saw them walking through the paddock long after the F1 coverage had ended for the weekend. But Jerry and Christian walked up the length of the paddock hand in hand, and the smile on Jerry's face never wavered the whole way as they walked up to get into their car to leave that weekend. But I think from there, Christian was just able to, you know, maintain this dignity, I think, under pressure that never really wavered over the last year and a half.
I mean, there was an investigation by Red Bull into allegations of wrongdoing and inappropriate behaviour towards female members of staff. He was cleared by that. But what damage did that do to him, Luke?
I think from a sort of reputational level, I think the sort of wider public perception, I think that it definitely did raise a lot of questions about him. As you say, the grievance was dismissed following an investigation by a King's Counsel that ruling was appealed, but the decision was upheld. The cache of messages that Thomas referred to as well, I think that leak as well, they were unverified. Horner refused to comment on what he said were anonymous messages. But I think all of this together, I think it did raise serious questions about Christian Horner. And I think that it opened up a lot of the cracks that were there at Red Bull Racing. The fact that Max Verstappen, his star driver, his father came out saying that this team is going to be torn apart if Christian Horner remains in charge, and kind of the sort of struggle, the power struggle that followed them within the team. I think that if you look at the last 18 months, a lot of it does start with the surfacing of those allegations. And it became such a big talking point, I think, across the media. And again, it was both front and back page news. So it's a very big moment, I think, in the story of where we have now got to now with him leaving the team.
But I think what has struck people, Luke, is that he did have all of this success with Red Bull over the sustained period of time, including a massive year in 2023. And then, yes, they did start losing dominance, and obviously they're not having a great season this season. They're in fourth place. But you would have assumed that given what has happened before, that somebody like Christian Horner would have credit in the bank, and that they would have given him time, I suppose, to turn things around at Red Bull. Why was he not given that time?
I don't think anyone's got those answers for sure yet. And again, Red Bull have really gone into lockdown about anything beyond the initial statement saying that he's been released from his operational duties. But the kind of working theory is that over time, has this been eroded? Has the last 18 months, has the spotlight, maybe in a negative manner, being on Red Bull, got to a point where they think this isn't sustainable anymore? And I think when you're winning on track, it makes it a lot easier to cope with all of the outside noise that, hey, you're still delivering on the results. We're still winning races. We're still winning championships. We're still bringing in the cash prize money that comes with it as well. But now it's got to a point where Red Bull are underperforming on the track. They're on track for their worst championship finish in 10 years. Serious questions being asked about the future of Max Verstappen as well, their star driver. If Verstappen were to leave, that would obviously be a huge, huge blow to the entire team. So yeah, there is that credit in the bank, of course, and he brought a lot of success to the team. But F1, it's a very ruthless and it is a very results-based business. And I think that if they can't see any end to this dip in sight, plus the context of the past 18 months, that maybe has pushed them into wanting to make this change now.
I mean, there are still questions about whether or not Max Verstappen, their star driver, is going to remain at Red Bull, or even notwithstanding the fact that Christian Horner has been sacked, and you mentioned there the tension between Christian Horner and Max Verstappen's father, whether he will still, whether that will stop him leaving Red Bull, will it, do you think, Thomas?
That's the million dollar question, I think, that's going around at the moment. There has been all sorts of speculation that the Verstappens, both Jos and Max, have wanted Christian out of the picture. Now that's happened, the question is whether Christian was pushed because Max has already indicated his desire to leave, or whether it's the other way around entirely, that this is a last gasp effort to try holding on to his services by going, look at what we're willing to do in order to keep you.
Look, I saw Jeremy Clarkson writing about this in his column in the weekend's papers, and he said he texted Christian Horner to say, basically, don't worry about it. I've been here. I've been sacked too, from the BBC, obviously, in his case. And you wake up the following morning and you think you've stood on the head of a snake, but actually you've stood at the bottom of a ladder. What he is obviously suggesting there is there's bigger and better things to come. Where do you think his future is now? Do you think he's finished with Formula One?
I don't think he's finished with F1, no. I think that for now, I think this will be a good chance for Horner to take stock. And after 20 years of being immersed in this team and very much making Red Bull his life, that's suddenly come to an end. But I think that will give him a bit of time to reflect, to breathe, to spend some time with his family. And I think, just sort of think about what he wants to do next. But this is a guy who has, his entire adult life has been dedicated towards Formula One, towards racing, to being inside this world. And the idea of him not being on the front lines of the sport, it seems a little bit odd. And that's why I can't really see it lasting for a sustained period of time. So I think that inevitably when we do come up with the next F1 team principal vacancy, Horner is naturally going to be on that list. I think that he is going to be of interest to teams that are looking for leadership. Alpine is another F1 team that is looking, I think, for the kind of revival that Red Bull got when Horner took over in 2005. It's struggling in the midfield. It's not really able to join the big guys in F1 despite having these big ambitions. So would that maybe be a fit? He gets on very well with Flavio Briatore, who's kind of the overall man running the show at Alpine at the moment. So it's these kind of things where it's just hard to think about Horner being too far from the F1 world for very long. Because, you dedicate your life to something and it's taken away. It's not going to be that you accept it and go, okay, well, I'm done completely. So I really would be shocked if we didn't see Christian Horner back in F1 in some capacity. How long it's going to take, I think that's up to him. I think that's up to him how long he wants to take away to really just sort of decompress and, take stock of all that has happened.
And we'll see Ginger Spice back at the grandstands at major F1 events in the not too distant future. I mean, let's be fair, Thomas, he's not under any huge financial pressure, is he, to take up a job anytime soon?
No, not by comparison to the likes of you or I, but compared to other Formula One team bosses, his value would pale into insignificance compared to the likes of, say, Toto Wolff or Zak Brown or someone like that. But I think that might play a huge part in him deciding his future. I think he will look for a very different arrangement to what he had with Red Bull, because fundamentally, despite all the success, despite everything that he achieved over the 20 years, Christian was just an employee. And this has led to the situation he's in now, where he's tossed out on his ear after 20 years. Whatever he takes on next, I think he'll look for something that allows him to take some sort of ownership stake, to become fundamentally involved at a company level, to ensure that this next challenge, the next phase in his life, something like this can't happen to him quite as easily, where everything is just snatched out from under him without him being kind of involved in the process. That could be Alpine, as Luke touched on, because Alpine have obviously been handing out ownership shares to investors over the kind of last 2-3 years, including the likes of Ryan Reynolds, Rob McElhenney, actors like that, big sports stars like Shane Lowry. So it's very much a case of, I think Alpine could be, on paper, where we are right now, I think Alpine kind of makes the most sense.
And I have a funny feeling both Luke and Thomas are going to be keeping a close eye on Christian Horner and the moves that he makes next. Thank you so much to both of you for joining me in News Talk Daily today.
Thank you very much, Ciara.
Well, Luke's latest book, On the Grid, The Inside Track on Formula One, is published by Simon & Schuster. And that's it for today's podcast. I've enjoyed your company on this high-speed spin around the racetrack. I'll be back in your feed tomorrow with another edition of News Talk Daily. But for now, from me, Ciara Doherty, have a great day.